Compulsive overeater.
I'm really glad to be here. Thank you. I'm glad to be invited. I'm glad to be invited anywhere. I wasn't always invited to food-related activities. Let's see. First, I'm going to share with you a little bit from the Big Book about step one, and then I'm going to share my experience. So you guys all don't have your own Big Book with you, but I just have marked a few significant passages that relate to me. First is in the doctor's opinion, when Dr. William Silkworth talks about the entire psychic change. That's not a little change or a slight modification. That's an entire psychic change. It's a huge change. It's not just part of my ideas. Well, let me just state step one. Admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives have become unmanageable. So entire psychic change, it's not I'm a little bit powerless over food or I'm only powerless over some foods. It's the entire thing. And the next quote is on the bottom of page 11 in Bill's story. Bill's talking about his friend Evie. I saw that my friend was much more than inwardly reorganized. He was on a different footing. His roots grasped a new soil. Again, it's not just one leaf growing one different way. His entire being was completely rearranged. And next one is on page 13. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. So common sense is my daily thinking, the way I normally think. So being powerless means I need to throw that completely away. Everything that I think is common sense, I have to follow a new director, not my common sense. And then, page 27, there is a solution. The doctor is talking to Bill. Exceptions, let's see. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are phenomena. Phenomena is not a tiny thing you see, it's a huge thing. These appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. So again, that's the entireness of what's needed here. Here we go, page 39, more about alcoholism. At the present time, we are unable to stop or moderate because our brains and our bodies, let's start the whole sentence. That may be true of certain non-alcoholic people who, through drinking foolishly and heavily at the present time, are able to stop or moderate. Because he's talking about people who are not really alcoholics or food addicts, because their brains and bodies have not been damaged as ours were. So it's implying here that my brain as a compulsive overeater is damaged. So my normal way of thinking is not the best way of thinking. And then lastly, I want to mention and how it works, page 58. It says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly, not a little, thoroughly followed our path. And then, you guys get the idea of what I'm talking about. You know, and the last thing, half measures availed us nothing. Okay, so, The analogy is, I have a dog, and my dog at the present moment in time is ill. He has a brain disorder, which makes him tilt his head, and he always moves to the right. So instead of walking in a straight line, he walks kind of in a circle. And then when I try to pick him up and put him on the ground, I'm holding him, he's trying to get his body sideways because he thinks sideways is the right way. his brain is telling him the wrong thing. And then I put him on the ground, and I make sure he's sort of stable, and then I let him go. And that's how my brain is as a compulsive overeater. I'm also a recovering alcoholic and an Al-Anon codependent type person. I'm a compulsive overreader, compulsive overspender. You know, so my brain has now been wired in such a way that every experience of my life, my brain has been programmed with food, spending, alcohol, money will make this better. So every thought I have has been saturated with the thought of, I'm uncomfortable in my own skin, something outside myself is going to make me feel better. So that's why I have to completely disregard all my own thought patterns. Like every cell of my brain, you know, other people's cells, you know, might be, you know, completely round with a nucleus dead in the center, but all the cells of my brain are like my dog's brain. Everything goes to the left. Well, he goes to the right. Everything goes to the right. Everything goes to the right. So my cells might be round and look like everybody else's cells, but all my nuclei are leaning towards the right. So every thought I have is suspect, especially when I'm uncomfortable. So when it says, you know, admitted we were powerless, that to me means every thought I have of my own accord is suspect, and I have to second guess it. And when I'm left to my own devices, you know, I follow that nuclei to the right, which is food, alcohol, books, spending, you know, being outside myself, you know, this everything is all geared toward the right. So then my experience with this is that I came into Al-Anon first, you know, in a very bad relationship about 20 years ago, over 20 years ago. And I thought all I needed to do was get, you know, my boyfriend at the time to stop drinking, and then my life would be just fine. And everything else in my thought process was fine, but it really wasn't. And then I realized, okay, I have a drinking problem. So I thought, well, you know, my best thinking will tell me that it's the same 12 steps as Al-Anon, so, you know, I'll just do those 12 steps. That didn't work. You know, I wasn't ready for an entire psychic change at that point. So I had to go into AA, and that helped me get my thinking right about alcohol. So I knew I couldn't trust my thoughts about alcohol, but I'm still indulging in the food, in fact, more so when I put the drink down, because, you know, all those nuclei are still to the right, you know, everything that makes me uncomfortable. Food will fix this, food will fix this, food will fix this. So then I realized I have a food problem. Well, it worked so well when I was using Al-Anon steps for AA, I thought for sure, you know, my best thinking, the nuclei to the right, that AA's 12 steps will help me with the food problem, and I won't have to go to OA because the steps are exactly the same. They use sponsorship, they use phone, you know, it's the same, but it didn't work. It didn't work at all. My eating got worse and worse. And I thought I had power over it. Okay, so then I started coming to OA meetings. But, okay, so I figure what's different about OA meetings than AA meetings? Well, they have a food plan. Well, let me try the food plan. And so I tried the food plan only. And that didn't work. And I had a little bit of experience with abstaining from sugar. I thought that that also was going to be part of the solution because I knew people in OA who were abstaining from sugar. And I thought I had power over that too. I was abstinent from sugar for 9 months the first time. I still wasn't in a program. And then it was 3 months, and then I lost my abstinence in sugar. And then it was 2 weeks, and then I tried to get back on it, and I couldn't even stay abstinent from sugar for one day. So that was still all my thinking, the nuclei to the right, you know, food is going to fix this, food is going to fix this. Or even it's like, you know, the nuclei to the right could be like the mental blank spot. You know, oh, I don't have to avoid sugar today. You know, I don't have to avoid sugar today. I'll get back on it tomorrow. You know, it's those strange thoughts. Normal people don't think like that. So I finally did come into the program, and I finally did get a sponsor. I finally did start calling the sponsor, and finally did start calling my food in. You know, the more decisions I gave over to the program, and the more decisions I ran by my sponsor, the more my actions became better. But my thinking was always going to be off to the right. You know, I think that way. Some people are spontaneously healed and they never have to deal with, you know, binges or whatever anymore. But I'm not that kind. My thinking still always goes to the right. But I am abstinent today, and I am doing the tools that I need to do. I am calling a sponsor. I am doing. I do have sponsees. I do step work. I've gone through all 12 steps a few times. What else? And I guess that's all I have. So I've shared with you the big book, my thinking on it, and my experience. So that's all I have. Thank you. I'm Mia from Wilsonville Reader.
All right. Next up, we have Heather, and she's going to share her experience with step two.
I'm Heather, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heather.
And thank you so much for having me here. I am currently working through the steps right now with a sponsor, and I'm working on step four, but I'll just share with you my experience that I've had through the big book and the experience I've had this time around going through the steps. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. So I will start with power greater than myself. I had not had too much faith in what I perceived as a God, much like many other people. I grew up a certain religion and didn't really grow up with depending on that power in my everyday life or having it personal to me. I had it more of, you pray to God for things, you don't get those things, then you get mad at God. That was really pretty much my experience with a higher power. And it wasn't until I came into the program where I really was able to create what I thought, you know, what a power greater than myself actually is. And in the big book, I can start on page, I have page 12 in Bill's story. And it is the second full paragraph. It starts with that statement. Well, actually, right on top of it, it said, my friend suggested what then seemed a novel idea. He said, why don't you choose your own conception of God? And that statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning, making the decision. And I know for myself, I knew everything there was to know about my eating, knew everything there was to know about my behaviors, about what I was doing, what I was obsessing over, what I wasn't obsessing over. But that didn't help. That didn't help. Self-knowledge availed me nothing. I knew everything about, you know, I blamed other people. You know, I wasn't up to step four yet. So I was blaming everybody for everything that was going on. But I did not have a power greater than myself in that at all. So really just coming to that. And on page 28. And also, I did go through the big book. I went through the first 164 pages of the big book, and that's really, really, truly what hit me as far as working the steps. The other tools in the program I love dearly as much, but when I started to study the big book and go through it with a sponsor, that was when I really was just like, okay, this is it. This is it. It's my eating is a symptom of my disease. And I know all about all that. But what next? So on page 28, in the middle of page 28 with the if, it starts with if, I think it's the middle paragraph. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, It means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are the children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. Those having religious affiliations will find here nothing disturbing to their beliefs or ceremonies. There is no friction among us over such matters. I never had a relationship with what I would call a higher power. You know, it was kind of just, again, I would go back to, it was that thing, you know, it was God that I prayed to for things I wanted, and if I didn't get what I wanted, I'd be mad at God. So this was also very eye-opening to me. Just to have a simple, understandable relationship with a creative intelligence, a creative reality, whatever I wanted to call it. I personally had a religious observance that I decided or felt the most comfortable with. And sometimes I would find people I've come across that have had real strong religious convictions would struggle a little bit because, and would even, they themselves would have to find a power greater than themselves. So, within my journey of finding a power greater than myself, I talk to my sponsor, and I talk to her every day. I commit my food in the morning to her, so I don't have to think about it for the rest of the day. It's done. I don't have to stand in front of the refrigerator or in front of a pantry and flip-flop back and forth and try to decide what I'm going to do and have that cloud everything as far as working my steps. I commit my food to her, and that's it. That's my day. And then I can move on and work the steps. So a power greater than myself. I've worked on that a few times, power greater than myself, a few times going through the steps. Now, what about the restoring to sanity? The restoring to sanity, which that one was that was a huge, huge eye-opener to me. In step one, we go through, our lives are unmanageable. So I'm learning as I'm working this step two that all that unmanageability is the insanity in my life. That's what's making everything crazy. And that's where I go to page 50, I think it's 52, with the bedevilments. And I really studied this time around with my sponsor, the bedevilments. I really looked into it of, we have to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply our human problems, apply to our human problems this same readiness to change our point of view. Now, I trusted God with my food. You know, I worked with my sponsor, got my food straightened out, committed to her every day. I give that to God. Now, can he restore me to sanity? And what is insanity? That was the next question. And the answers are right here. For me, they were right here. We were having trouble with personal relationships. You know, getting a little crazy with certain things. I tend to be of an obsessive nature, and I can obsess over people. I can obsess very much over people. I thought I didn't have any problems with that. I'm like, oh, wow, somebody is consuming all of my thoughts. That's a problem with my personal relationships. Can't control our emotional natures. My phone craps out on me, and I flip out. You know, past normal, you know, what am I going to do? Oh my gosh, I got to go to Verizon. How am I going to bring the kids to Verizon? And all I would really have to do is charge it or something, you know. Going down that thing of insanity. Going down that spiral of insanity. Couldn't control, prey to misery and depression. I find a mole on my foot. And right there, I find a mole on my foot, and I go right down that road that I am going to be sick from it, I have skin cancer, this whole thing, you know, that's where I go. That is right here, full of fear. I should say that's full of fear. Unhappy, couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreel of lunar flight? a basic solution to these bedevilments is definitely, was what I really, really wanted. And my basic solution was to give it over to a higher power. We went through my bedevilments with my sponsor, and as I was reading them to her and everything would come up, I just felt so, again, so powerless. It was like the food, like all of this stuff, I can binge on my insanity the same exact way I was binging on my food. I could really, really go to those places, and I do, I still do here, but I have my solution. I still can spiral down. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. Do I believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity? I do, and there's times it's something about us of being of an agnostic nature where, okay, so I'm obsessing over something, and I don't want to give it over to God, and I don't think that God can really do much about it. That's my agnostic nature, you know? And I find that, like, when I'm working, right now I'm home with my kids, but when I'm in the work world, I'll get obsessed with whatever job I have, completely consumed and obsessed. I might not so much want to give that over to God, because there's something in me that might kind of like that. So I have to go through a process. I have to talk about it with my sponsor, talk about it with other people, and then give that over to the power greater than myself, because he can restore me to sanity. And it all leads me back to the food, because I am a compulsive overeater. And if I don't give these things over to God, eventually they do show up in my food. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there, lick the spoon, I'm obsessing over this, I'm doing that. I'll take another tablespoon of this, and it just kind of bleeds back in very slowly. And also some of the things with my food, I can coast by with it, too. I can coast. I can kind of on the outside seem like I'm doing everything. I can function in life, and I can coast on my food and not give things over to God. So that's also part of how I have to work step two. And something else has come up in my life, and again, I just have to ask God, you know, can you please just change this for me, this little part of sanity that's going on, just so I can move on. And that's my experience. That's my experience with the big book, and it really it has continually been the answer for me, as far as working my steps and just keeping my side of the street clean. So I think that's all I wanted to share. I have something circled on page 53 also that I could read. When we became alcoholics, it's right in the under the second paragraph, second full paragraph. When we became alcoholics, crushed by self-imposed crisis, I love that, self-imposed crisis, all of the insanity I've caused myself, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. And what was our choice to be? And just really quick, after reading this and thinking of the self-imposed crisis, I really can't make any of my bedevilments go away on my own. I can't. I can learn about them. I can analyze them. I can talk to a lot of people about them. I can't make them go away. Only by handing them over to a power greater than myself can they be changed, and can I have peace. And that's it. Thank you.